It's nice to be here with you this evening. I get really excited about the Holy Spirit because I know what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. And, you know, the Holy Spirit calls us. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to be asked to do things. And we're going to go places we never thought we'd go. And Jesus told us in John 10, chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I have come that you might have life and have abundantly. And another translation, it says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Jesus' words to us are that we will have life in abundance and we will have life to the fullest. And how do we have that life? Where do we get that life? Well, last week, you all received that new life and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that gift of abundance, that gift of fullness, that gift of joy, that gift of peace, all the things that the Spirit is now resides within you. And for some of you, this may be a really brand new opportunity and experience. And you may have felt things during the week that you have never, ever felt before. And some of you may have had a really emotional experience when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some of you may have had a very quiet experience. But just know that the Spirit, you know, can roar like a mighty wind, or the Spirit can speak in a soft, still, gentle voice. So whatever experience you had, know in your heart that that's the one God wanted you to have. And the reason I'm saying this now is because I think it's really easy to compare experiences. And then I think sometimes when we compare experiences, doubt can get in there. Well, maybe I really didn't. Maybe, you know, so-and-so had this experience and felt this, and maybe I really didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit's really not there for me. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the promise of Jesus that you received his Holy Spirit when hands were laid on you. You received power from on high. You received that power. So I just wanted to start the talk with that. An abundant life. Because that's exciting. It's not what the world promises us.
I'm going to move out, okay? I'm going to move out. Can everybody hear me?
If you can't, I'll go back, okay? I don't like that.
All this is so different than what the world has. You have what Jesus wants you to have. And he just doesn't want you to sit on a chair with it. He doesn't want you to be where you are, right here, right now. Tomorrow. Jesus calls us to grow. He calls us to grow. He says, you know what? You have everything in you right now, and there are plans that I have for you, and I want you to know me, and I want to know. I want to read something from John. John, chapter 15. Just to set this up a little bit, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's leaving them, okay? He's preparing them for his physical absence. You know, they've walked with him. They've seen him perform signs and wonders and miracles. They ate with him, traveled together, and he's preparing them. He's washed their feet in chapter 13. In chapter 14, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm going to go away for a while, but it's better that I do, because if I don't, you're not going to receive the gift of my Spirit. I'm giving you a helper. I'm giving you an advocate. I'm giving you a paraclete. I have to go away. He's preparing them for a spiritual presence with him through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's what we have. We don't have Jesus physically present, standing right beside me, standing right beside you like the disciples did when they walked with him. We have a connection to him through his Spirit, which now is in each and every one of us, okay? So, in John 15, Jesus says, and I'm starting with verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And we can do nothing apart from him. We can try. And we think, you know, we think that we can, but we really can't. It's the Spirit that flows through the vine that goes through the branches, that gives us power and direction and nourishment and fulfillment and sustenance in our lives. And when we choose, if we choose, to move away from that vine, that's our choice. God doesn't move away from us. We move away from him. But if we remain, and if we abide, Jesus says we're going to bear fruit. And those branches that we don't need to drag us down, that keep us from living this life of abundance and fullness, God's going to throw away. We don't need that stuff. It is I that no longer live, but Christ who lives in me. St. Paul said that. Okay? And those branches that do bear fruit, well, guess what? God's going to get in there with his green tears, and he's going to prune them, and we're going to bear even more fruit, because that glorifies the Father. It's not a question of if we bear fruit. It's a question of when we bear fruit. And how do we bear fruit? Let's think about the Christian life, if you will, as a bicycle tire. Okay? Nice round bicycle tire. And on the exterior, there's a rim. And the rim represents the Christian life. And in the center of that rim is the hub. And the hub gives power and direction to the rim. So we have the hub in the middle, we have the rim out here. How does direction and power get from the hub to the rim? There are spokes which connect the hub to the rim. And each one of those spokes is important because it maintains the balance of the wheel. If one of those spokes is gone, that wheel's not going to move just right. It's not going to go the way it was intended to go. Something's a little off kilter. Something's a little off balance. Well, God has given us tools. And each one of those spokes represent tools that are going to help us grow in this life that we have been given. They're there. They're available. But we have to use them. And we have to use them diligently and habitually. And the one I'm going to start with, the first spoke that connects the hub to the rim, is prayer. Essential. Can't grow without prayer. Can't grow the way God wants you to grow without prayer. Prayer is that time, one-on-one, with God, and no distractions, and nothing else. Okay? It's that time when I can sit down with Jesus, with God, and with the Holy Spirit, and I can connect. You know, you meet with your friends, you have coffee with your friends, you talk to your friends, they talk to you, you get to know what's going on in their lives, they get to know what's going on in your life, and you build a relationship. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is building a relationship with Jesus. It's laying our hearts at the foot of the cross, inviting him into every detail of our lives, every day, and it's allowing him to speak to us. It's allowing him to minister to us. Some practical tips for prayer. Do it every day. And I know everybody's busy. So we schedule things so that we make sure we get them in on our day-to-day stuff. So schedule prayer. make it a priority, because when we write something down on our schedule, we usually do what we write down, because it becomes a priority. So schedule prayer. Find a time that works for you, okay? And I had to play with that one. I thought my best time would be at night, because back then I wasn't a morning person. Night didn't work for me because I just fell asleep. So God said, I want morning time. And it took a while. But you know what? If you do something consistently for 21 days, it becomes a habit. Make prayer a habit. So now, my morning time is my prayer time. And I get up before my kids, before we start our day. And sometimes that's fairly early. And I have my coffee, and I go to my prayer chair. I have a designated chair that I go to. And on the table beside that chair, I have what I need to pray, so that I'm not wasting time looking for what I need. Everything is right there. I have my Bible, I have my highlighter, I have my journal, I have my prayer aids, I have everything I need right there. And I spend time in prayer. You know, start with 10 minutes a day. Start your prayer time by thanking and praising God. Because what happens is that shifts your focus away from your list to Jesus. Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you for the time that we get to spend together, Lord. And I praise and be thankful and give him glory and give him honor. You know, then petitions. Then talk to him. If there's a situation, something going on in your life, talk to him just like you would a friend. But listen, because he talks back. A while ago at a prayer meeting, somebody shared something about they went to a retreat, and it was a silent retreat. And they were challenged to start a new form of prayer during that retreat. And during that prayer time, praise and thanksgiving, then very quiet focus. And the person, one thing would pop into the person's mind that they wanted to tell Jesus, like, Jesus, I love you. Or Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And then was instructed to listen. And she said, after a while, she could hear Jesus say things back to her. It's just that she had not quieted herself enough to be able to hear what God wanted to say to her. So there's a time to talk. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to receive from Jesus. Because in that, when we receive what he wants to give us, we grow. When we spend time with him in prayer, we grow. The second component, the second spoke, is scripture. Okay? Studying the Word of God, letting the Word of God fall deep into your heart so that it transforms you. Letting those seeds take root and change who you are by becoming more and more like Christ. Because when we read scripture, when we meditate on scripture, when we pray scripture, we are changed. We are changed because we know who Jesus is and we want to be like him. Reading scripture for me, praying scripture for me, was extremely difficult when I started my walk. And somebody gave me a little pointer and said, it's made all the difference in the world. Before you open your Bible, always pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind. Help me to know what it is you want me to know so that I can grow in my relationship with you. Always pray before you open scripture. If there's something that's on your heart and you need an answer, ask God to take you right to that scripture. That's happened to me so many times. And he will. Another method, another way is to pray, read scripture, stop when a word or a sentence jumps out at you. When it jumps out at you, that's what God wants to speak to you. Pray about what jumps out at you. Go back and read it again. Same thing. Go back and read it again. Take a few minutes and let it sink. Let God speak to you. I've done that with scripture sometimes for weeks on end because that's where I've been. And journal. When God speaks to you through scripture or prayer, journal. Because it's really neat to see how he's grown you. What he said to you. And it's really neat to see how that stays with you. And when you're reading, sometimes you go back and say, oh yeah, I remember that, and I shared that with so-and-so. And you never know how those words might change somebody's life, might minister to them. Okay, we have prayer and scripture. We have Mass. For me, Mass is the perfect prayer. Pray before you go to Mass, because God wants to speak to you there too. Pray that you would be open to whatever it is God wants to reveal to you that day as you go to worship Him. Liturgy of the Word, we are fed with His very Word during Mass. And hopefully we're fed with a really good homily during Mass. Ask Him to speak to you with those readings. And then we have Liturgy of the Eucharist. We have the opportunity to consume Christ. And our prayer should be that He consume us. Pray before you receive Him. Ask Him to show you His power in your life. Ask Him to transform you with the graces that you are receiving when you walk up to the altar and take His body into your hand and consume His blood. Ask Him to help you become the son or the daughter He created you to be, to glorify Him. There are so many graces that are poured out when we receive the sacraments. When we receive the sacrament of reconciliation, when we go to Mass and receive communion, graces abound to give us all that we need to do all that God asks of us and to grow, to become more like Him. So anytime you have that opportunity to go to Mass, take it. Service. Jesus was a servant, a true servant. And that's what He calls us to do. He calls us to serve. He came to serve and not to be served. He washed the feet of the disciples. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He ministered to the tax collectors and the sinners. And we're called to do the same. How do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? God will put opportunities in your path. And as you develop a relationship with Christ, as it grows deeper, and you get to know the Holy Spirit's movement in your life, the Holy Spirit will give you things that will let you know it's the Holy Spirit. For me, I know when I am meant to say something, it feels like the words are rumbling around in my mouth. It's a very physical sensation. And I know that if I don't open my mouth and get them out, I am going to spontaneously combust. Because I know it's the Holy Spirit. Lord, how can I serve You? What is it You want me to do? You've given me gifts, Lord. You've given me Your Spirit. There's nothing I can't do that You call me to do because I have Your Spirit. It's amazing what He will do. From the littlest of things that we deem little to things that you never thought possible. He calls us out of our comfort zones, that's for sure. And you know why He does that? He does that so that we know that it's Him in us. Because we know it's not us. I briefly share a story with you about my life that I never expected to happen. I've always had a love of music, and 5 years ago, I was listening to a friend of mine play a song, or run some songs past me for communion meditation, and the one song really touched me. It was a beautiful song, it's called Kindness, and for years, I'd always wanted to be able to sing harmony, but I could never quite get it. I could just never quite get it, and my mother can sing beautiful harmony, and I would always just stand in awe of her because she'd just pick it up by ear and sing this harmony. And I said to this friend, I said, "Do you mind if I sing that with you?" And when I went up to the place where she was, we were in church, and she was sitting in front of the altar, and I went up and was behind her reading the words, and this harmony came out of my mouth. Now, I know that wasn't me because I couldn't sing harmony. That was the power of the Spirit. And I felt, very cliche-ish, like the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit just poured down upon me. And I tinkered with guitar for years in college. I've always loved the sound of a guitar. Well, this friend said, "You have a guitar?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't play." And she said, "Why don't you bring it over and we'll start playing?" I said, "Oh, I don't play guitar." And she said, "Oh, just come on." So we did. And 3 months later, I was ministering at a mass. Okay? With three chords. Okay? That was not me. That was the power of the Spirit within me. Anytime you say yes to service, you grow because you're stretched. And anytime you say yes, and you know you are totally inadequate, God will give you everything you need to do everything He asked you to do. He does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Okay? And when you say yes, you will grow. Because, you know, you grow in trust. And trust leads to faith. Well, faith leads to trust. I'm not sure quite how that works. But they're related, they're connected. There's relationship. Community. We gather with the community every Sunday to celebrate Mass. Each of us has gifts in that community, in our communities, that we need to use so that the unity of the Spirit is there. Your gift is just as important as your gifts. And without the utilization of all the gifts, it's out of balance. There's not unity. Okay? Yeah, it's great to go and it's great to worship. And it's great to see the people that we have relationships with. But think about how you can serve. Think about how you can serve. Maybe what God might be calling you to do. And I just want to make a point, because we are called to do things, but we are not called to be so busy in the Lord's work that we don't have time for personal prayer, that we don't have time to sit and reflect on Scripture. Okay? First and foremost, the most important thing to growth is relationship with Jesus. And as that cultivates, and as we grow, and as we become, and as we are transformed, opportunities present themselves. Okay? A community is really important. You know, take to your prayer time, "Lord, how is it you want me to serve in my community? What is it you want me to do with the giftedness you have given me? And what are my gifts? What are my gifts?" Because there are gifts that you have that you don't know about, but somebody will point it out to you. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say to somebody, "Have you ever thought about lecturing? You make a great evangelistic minister." Pay attention to that, because the Spirit uses other people to speak to us also. He uses Scripture and prayer, but He also comes to us and other people to help us on this journey as we grow. Those people that know us in community. Pay attention to it. Small groups. As Bob said, there are three prayer meetings in this area. They're a vital part of my Christian walk. My small faith group that I meet with every Monday night sustains me. It feeds me. I get together with other believers, and that is so important in this walk. We cannot do this alone. This is not an isolationist type of thing. God calls us to come together as community. God calls us to pray for and with one another. God calls us to share with one another the great things He's doing in our lives. He calls us to minister to one another. And on Monday nights at Immaculate Conception, we gather and we praise and worship with song and prayer. And we have a time to let the gifts of the Spirit manifest. Gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge. And we have a time to share Scripture. Spirit-inspired Scripture that may speak to somebody directly in that room. And then there's a time to share. What has Jesus done in your life? What's Jesus doing in your life tonight? And then we pray for and with one another. There's intercessory prayer. The great thing about the small faith sharing groups is that you build community. You know, you meet with the same people every week, and you build community, and you gather, and you grow, and you support, and you encourage one another. because we're called to go out into the world. We have to have some place to come back to regroup, to refuel, to gather ourselves so that we can go back out. Prayer partner is also something that's really neat. If you meet with somebody once every other week, once a month, whatever your schedule would permit, to get together, to talk about how God's speaking to you. What do we need prayer for? What do you need prayer for? What do I need prayer for? And it's a great accountability factor too. Keeping each other accountable so that you stay on this walk. So there are some just basic practical things that you can do to help you on. You've just started, okay? You've just started, and God knows that. And you know, just like you feed a baby formula or milk, we start with baby food on this walk. Jesus feeds us what we can take in. And as we keep going forward, there's more, and there's more, and there's more, until we become transformed. Evangelization. We're called to share the good news. And some of you just may be really on fire right now and, you know, want to share with everybody what's happened to you because you want everybody to have this joyful, wonderful experience that you've had. And some of us may be a little more quiet on the quiet side and, I'm not so sure and I don't know even how to get started. And there will be a time for all of that. Some of you may come from families that have been praying for this for a long time. And so there's joy that abounds. And some of you may, you know, have families at home that don't want baptism in the Holy Spirit, charismatic renewal, not quite so sure. God will give you the words in his time and in his way to share and to evangelize. He will put people in your path. The greatest evangelization there is to let them see that transformation. And people will say to you, you're different. What's different? Something's going on with you. You know, you're much more peaceful. You don't have much anxiety going on. You're not as quick-tempered as you used to be. What's going on? Perfect opportunity to share with them. Co-workers, friends, family. Let God lead the way into evangelization. And if you're a little timid about that, pray for his boldness. Because we received a spirit of boldness, not a spirit of timidity. You know, growth in the Spirit is a moment-by-moment process, day-by-day process. Every day brings something new. We have to stick to the plan. We have to use the tools that we have been given. If not, you know, they're going to get a little hard to maneuver and a little hard to work with. Every day, Jesus waits for us to come to him in prayer, to spend time with him, to acknowledge him, to learn more about him, to do the things he's calling us to do. I am the vine. You are the branches. It's a relationship of total dependence on Jesus and his Spirit in our lives. He wants it all. He's a jealous God. He does not like lukewarm. He'd rather have cold than lukewarm. That's Jesus. He wants our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds. He wants everything. So in this walk, it's moment by moment, it's day by day, we need to depend on him. We need to surrender to him, and we need to trust him. The great thing about this is there's always an us in this, because the Spirit never leaves us. The Spirit will never leave you. There's always a relationship in this. But we have to do our part. St. Teresa of Avila said, Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, and no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ compassion is to look out to the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which Christ is to bless all people now. So as you go forth on this journey, on this walk, know that Christ is always with you. Use the tools that are available to you to help you grow. Reach out to one another. support one another, pray with one another, share with one another, encourage one another, get involved. But always keep your eyes on Jesus. Pray always about everything. Keep your eyes on Him and go forward.